verse 15. They took Jonah and threw him overboard. And immediately the sea quieted down. Can you imagine that? Wow, wild, wild. And the skeptic in us, that is a great little story, illustrative little, oh no. God can do that kind of stuff. Miraculous is within the realm of possibility, and more so for God, right? I mean, but just imagine being there. They don't want to do it, but they splash, big sea, wild sea, quiet it down immediately. The sailors were impressed, this paraphrase of scripture says. Verse 16, the sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea, but in awe of God. They worshiped God, offered a sacrifice, made vows. Then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days, 3 nights. What a crazy story. The story of Jonah, I say it again, is not a fairy tale. It's not a fairy, it's a historical narrative right here. Nothing is too incredible for the God that created everything we can see and everything we can't see. And there's a lot of that. When you believe that God created like that and created every animal there is, you don't have trouble believing that God could make a plankton-eating whale shark come along and swallow a man. And we talked about this in a Jonah series we did, I think, 3 years ago. There's one of the large whales, they say, that has an esophagus 20 inches, 50 centimeters, and they don't have to chew their food. Very possible in that slimy environment for someone to be swallowed whole. And for God to miraculously, if there's problems with the juices in the stomach that decompose, you know, or whatever the word is that would cause a human body to be eaten away, God could reverse that. I totally believe it. God could reverse that. This is not a fairy tale. God is an amazing God. And, you know, we sometimes hear just this little side-gated thought, quoting Crystal, since she's not here. We sometimes have heard, well, we say Jonah and the whale, but it wasn't a whale. Well, probably not, or maybe. I would even say maybe not. Just Marlowe's food for thought. Yes, the Bible says Jonah, a great fish came along. And we know a whale is a mammal, right? But, I don't know, just a minor thing, food for thought. Keep in mind that the modern animal classifications were probably not taught in Jonah's biology class at that time. Probably any aquatic creature would have been referred to as a fish. So, but it, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. Preparing a fish or a whale or and timing the whole event was not a great drain on God's power or ability. He's sovereign. He's in control, even of the sea creatures, the deepest of the sea. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Jonah is referred to as God's servant and prophet in 2 Kings 14, a spokesman for God. So God calls Jonah to, as we read, go to Nineveh, wicked city. And Jonah thinks, oh, I could not have just heard God correctly. It's a problem in the, you know, picking up of the signals. I'm getting it. Have you ever thought of that? You ever thought that for yourself? You ever wonder that? I could not have just heard God correctly. No, it's not. By the way, for several weeks in the fall, we are going to be talking about this whole area of recognizing God's voice. It's a question that over the years I've been asked many times. I've asked it myself. Many times. I've wrestled with that. So just something to have on your radar looking ahead to fall. But Maybe Jonah knew. And if he said, oh, I couldn't have heard God correctly, I actually think that Jonah knew. And if he did think that, it was like trying to, you know, no way. And we know that. Jonah, no, he rebelled against God's call, didn't he? Very, very quickly. And very extremely. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, modern-day Iraq, very powerful city at the time. And God said to Jonah, I don't like what's going on there. And so, Jonah, I want you, your lucky day, I want you to declare my vision for their future. God was, you know what? He was saying, I care about those people enough to warn them of the dire consequences of their continuing sin and rebellion. Jonah, so go tell the Ninevites to repent and turn to me. And if they don't, it's not going to be pretty. Go ahead, deliver that message. Wow, scary stuff. Scary stuff. Sometimes obeying God in the natural is scary stuff. Some of you have walked that path to varying degrees at various times in your life. Good for you. God wanted to extend his grace to the Ninevites, and so the message of repentance was necessary, and Jonah was God's chosen voice. And so Jonah, being God's servant and all, took off in the opposite direction. Of course. No, I shouldn't say of course. I mean, but really, we got to be careful about being too judgmental. What would we have done? What would we have done? Jonah's probably thinking, if I go there, I am dead. Assyria was one of Israel's worst enemies. Have you ever felt God's call? Have you, Christian friend, ever felt God's call? Don't be too quick to say no to that question. Have you ever had an impression or a persistent thought, something that you just couldn't shake? If you've been a Christian any length of time, I would bet a lot of someone else's money that you have. That you have. Whether you recognize it or not, God's call. What does that look like? What could that look like? Jonah, it's a big one. If we want to make them, I don't think we necessarily should. Big, small, but there's part of it that sometimes it's some smaller things. Sometimes it's some bigger things. But God's call can be as simple as, hey, so-and-so is facing some life difficulties right now. Why don't you pick up the phone? Maybe I should pick up the phone. Why don't you go connect, take them for coffee. Maybe I should take them for coffee to encourage them. It would be great. I would love the opportunity to encourage them. This thought process that is godly and Christ-honoring and encouraging. God's call. God's call. Have your neighbors over. Get to know them. And them to get to know you. God's call. God's call. Open this business, as has happened. Some of you have walked that journey. And some of you, a few of you, even lately. God's call. God's call. I want you to get involved in the woman's dream center in some way. God's call. That thought, you explore it. And it just resonates as you ask questions and research. Some of you have done that in various ways. Or God's call. I want you to trumpet the cause of human trafficking. Some of you you got this passion. That's God's call. God's call. Make praying for your spouse and your children a priority every day. It's God's call. Getting tired of me saying God's call yet? God's call. I want you to do such and such with your future. And so go prepare by getting appropriate education. God's call. Be that Nate or Vanguard or U of A. God's call. This discussion about God's call is not just for the Old Testament prophet or the modern day missionary. It's absolutely applicable to all Christ followers, isn't it? And if you're a Christian, God has a call on your life. Oh, for a variety of things, for some specific things related to how you're wired and the experiences that you've had and all of that. But certainly, at the very least, God's call on our life as Christians is to represent Him every day where He's placed us, to show and share His message of hope and grace offered at the cross. God's call. What a privilege that is in the sphere of influence where He's placed us. That's God's call. That's God's call for you, Christian friend, ECCer, as you wake up tomorrow morning and go to work. So when you sense God's prodding towards some type of action, what do you do with that? Do you step out and obey? Do I step out and obey and experience the joy and the adventure that comes with obedience? Or do we, and we've probably all done it, do we run from God and miss out? We miss out. Sometimes simply by saying, no, that couldn't have been God. And on we go in our direction. Eh? Don't be too quick to say, now, if it's contradictory to the Word of God, this is our plumb line, right? If it's contradictory to the Word of God, then you know what you need to do. It's not God's call to missionary cohabitate with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Is that you, right? So, but there's a call from God for us. This prodding can come in a variety of ways, look differently. So we got to be careful not to too quickly say, no, that couldn't be from God. Now, let me just say, there are times to run. The other direction? Yes, there are times to run. If I stumble upon a wasp nest, and given my allergy, I'm going to run. Guys, if you're out for dinner with a girl, and halfway through your dinner date, she's endeavoring to get your wedding date pegged on her calendar, her wedding date to her, I'd run. There's times to run. But don't be too quick to judge Jonah, getting back to Jonah. Have you ever said to God, have you ever said, not me? Not me. Invite your neighbor to church. No, not me. Maybe you should go. Maybe you'd step out and trust me and go on that missions trip. Not me. Not saying, just saying. Or maybe go across the hallway to your coworker who's hurting. That could be misinterpreted. I can't do that. That's awkward. You know, whatever. You can't be too quick to judge Jonah. What has God called you to do that you've not followed through on because it's a little outside your comfort zone or because there are other things that are a greater priority to you? Whatever. Just asking. I was asking myself as I prepared this message. I mean, for Jonah, does he, or for any one of us, do we think that running in the opposite direction is really a more positive option than the God who created us and loves us more than anybody could? Let me speak for myself. I don't make sense sometimes in wrestling with God when I know it's His leading, right? It just doesn't make sense when we know God, when we really know God. There's something important to keep in mind here. Running from God can bring painful consequences for ourselves and others. Some of you know that. Some of you know that. And that doesn't mean to say every time we go God's direction, there there's never any painful things that we have to walk through either. I'm not saying that. But let's take this from Jonah's story. Running from God can bring some situations. There's ramifications sometimes to disobedience. When we run from the one who created us and we run from his plan for our life or his plan for a particular day or his plan in a particular moment of a day, we're settling for something far, far less than God's best. You know, as someone said to me recently, I Jonah'd. What? Oh, I see. You had a year where you were just wrestling with what you knew God's direction was for your life. I Jonah'd. I like that. When we go all Jonah and bolt from God's plan or from his instructions, it may not land us in the belly of a fish. But we may just find ourselves wandering in the desert of complacency spiritually. Or we may find ourselves wandering in the desert, the wilderness of spiritual dryness, or beating our head against various walls in various areas of our life. Outcomes of disobedience. Not only that, when we run from God, we're potentially running toward any number of spiritually dangerous things as well. Because really, when we refuse God's loving leadership, isn't that pride? Which results in many other spiral rides away from God's character and goodness in our life. When we run from God, we're potentially running toward any number of spiritually dangerous things like pride, resentment, gossip, an affair, jealousy, greed, sexual promiscuity. These things bring painful consequences on us and others, right? We know that biblically, we know that from history, and many of us know that in our own experience. We run from God when we don't bend our ear and our heart toward his word to glean his heart and will for our life daily. Or when we say, God, you keep the solar system in place and I'll run my business or I'll lead my family based on my common sense, experience, smarts. I can handle that. Wow. Scary place to be, actually. When we say, not me, to God, we, not only that, but we miss the blessing of the adventure that God is calling us to. Many times we don't see it because we let the human fear cloud the picture that God is trying to paint for us about the possibilities on the other side of obedience. Oh, I wish we'd get this. Christian friend, and this again, this is not just past message for pastor missionary type people, because we're all a missionary, a representative for Christ every day where we live, every one of us. And so again, running. Are you running? Maybe because he's asking you to take steps forward in generosity. Can you trust God enough to be generous with the money he's given you to steward for the work of his kingdom? I mean, that's a trust question. I mean, probably all of this is. Maybe because he's asking you to begin to share your faith verbally with a coworker. Maybe because he's asking you to simply consult him on a big life decision you're facing. Or maybe because he just wants you to surrender your children, to really, really surrender your children and their future to him. Could continue giving examples, but if in any way you're running from God, you don't need me to point that out, I think. I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit has probably already done that if you've got a heart for God at all. I really think that. What would it be like What would it be like if we consistently had an open heart to God's voice? I mean, again, imagine the possibilities of responding to those promptings. The influence that we could potentially have for God, for good, for Christ. It's pretty cool. I was thinking about this. This is a little bit of a, could be a rabbit trail, but it's okay. I was at the wedding yesterday, Jesse and Travis' wedding, Travis's wedding. And I was just reflecting as I looked at, I think it was four tables filled with students. You got me on the graduation weekend of my youngest kid. Okay, I'm a wuss. No, I'm not supposed to say that. My wife said no. But the influence of a Travis and a Jesse, young adults. Yeah, probably going to do some wild things in missions, but missional in their daily life here. The influence of their lives and their love and their spurring on those students as part of the youth leadership team. Seeing those four tables of students, just students that look up to this very, very young married couple. The influence. Because there was a call, there was a prompting, there was an idea planted by God and two individual young adults decided to step out and say, I just want to serve. I love students. I'm wired that way. God's call. Love students. Influence them for Christ. And there was just so cool evidence of that yesterday at the wedding. What are the possibilities for you if you were to say yes to God's prompting? See, the storm that Jonah ran into was not so much God's judgment as it was his grace seeking to shake Jonah to wake him up to enjoy God's plan. God sometimes needs to send a storm to get our attention. I believe that's true in our own lives as well sometimes. And remember, God is sovereign Lord of the universe and is completely within his rights to demand full and unquestioned obedience. We don't like that message too much, but it's absolutely true. It's biblical. Sometimes we chafe against that. And so God sends a storm. And after some time, as we read, the sailors agree to Jonah's instructions, toss him overboard in order to stop the storm, and the storm stops, and then God's creature swims in on cue. The great fish was an obedient instrument. Well, I don't, maybe it didn't have a choice at all. Maybe that's not going to work, so I'm not even going to go down that. The creature listened to the Creator. I'm a creature. I want to listen to the Creator, and I know many of you do as well. And then in Jonah 2, Jonah called to the Lord, and God commanded the fish then to vomit Jonah. After Jonah repented and vomited him up on dry land, that's pretty wild. I mean, I've seen those National Geographic shows where the whales come real close and, you know, something like that. And I'm sure Jonah was, once he got out, was looking for the shower pole on the beach because he probably couldn't stand his own aroma. I don't know, just all these pictures. I mean, this is real. This really happened. Skip to Jonah 3, Jonah chapter 3, and God asks again, go to Nineveh and declare my message. Well, here it is. Running with God instead of against or from God is a much better option. And why does God stick with Jonah? He's gracious. He didn't give up on Jonah. He's not ever going to give up on us either. Why did he stick with Jonah? Well, could it be because he really loved Jonah? Yes. Could it be because Jonah needed some spiritual work done in his life? Yes. I believe that many times God persists with us because he loves us. He wants us to grow in our character and in our commitment to trust and follow. Trust and follow. trust, follow. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. That doesn't come naturally or easily for most of us many times, does it? And God's not given up on you because you happen to say no one time or more. Because you happen to say, not me, God, one time or more. God has not given up on you. And so Jonah did end up going, as we know the story. We're not taking time to dive in there, but he went to Nineveh and declared the message. Chapter 3, verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, which was symbolic of their repentance and turning to God. I mean, so cool, wild, 120,000 people, the common people on the street and the king, all responded to the message and repented and turned to God. Phenomenal. And Jonah went home happy. He actually didn't. And again, we no time to unpack that. But you know what? When we choose to run with God and listen and respond obediently to those promptings, to the whisper of the Spirit, to His leadership, and follow His direction, some neat things can happen. Some amazing things can happen. Some miraculous things can happen. And again, many of you could stand up right now, I know it, and give personal testimony to this truth. Thank God for those experiences. Now, again, there were other issues that Jonah had on the other side of his obedience in this case, and you can read about that as you read the brief little book of Jonah. But you know what? That just reminds me that there's hope for me, and there's hope for all of us. Because all through the Bible and history, God uses broken, weak, fallible people who, to accomplish anything of eternal significance, must depend on God completely. And that's a privilege to do that, isn't it? It's a privilege to do that. Not always easy, but it's a privilege to do that. And so, back to you and me, God's call or promptings in our lives. For some of you, it's God's whisper, maybe to be involved in some ministry area in your church family, or to connect somehow in your community and a broader community and serve in some way and be Christ's representative. Whatever it is, we've given enough examples today. But for some of you, there may be something that you just have not. You've sensed, you've felt, and as I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has been causing that to percolate to the top of your mind. Could be God. Could be God. And maybe today is your morning to respond obediently and say, okay, I'll do that. I'll take baby steps, but I think you're okay with that. Walk with me. Walk with me. The direction I sense you leading me. Maybe there's a prompting that you smothered in busyness or with something else. Ask yourself how your follow-through has been. How's your follow-through after you initially committed that family or that situation or that business or that conversation to God, and yet you've kind of taken over? Maybe for you, for some of you, it's that. You know, just like our stubborn running from God can have an adverse domino effect. Think about it this way. Our obedient response, being available to God and running with God in His direction, can have divine positive domino effects as well. And many of you have probably heard this before. Here's a cool example from history of the domino effect of obedience. On a warm Sunday afternoon in 1856, a shoe cobbler named Edward Kimball led D.L. Moody to Christ. Moody's preaching touched the heart of F.B. Meyers, who led J.W. Chapman to the Lord. I guess it was cool back then to use the initials. I would have been M.D. Jenkins. Sounds kind of doctoral, doesn't it? It's actually Daryl. Anyway, Mr. Chapman would open the Chicago Rescue Mission, where Billy Sunday would be saved and ultimately lead a young man named Mordecai Ham to faith in Christ. Under the preaching of Mordecai Ham, a North Carolina boy named Billy Graham accepted Jesus Christ. Cool. Cool. And Billy Graham, as we know, has been a powerful prophetic voice for the gospel for decades around the world. We never know the impact of our obedience. Pretty cool. What's God calling you to right now that seems scary or difficult? Or maybe even that you think is impossible? Think about the story of Jonah. It's not impossible. If it's God, it's not impossible. Or what could he be calling you to that seems inconsequential? On the other end of the spectrum, that wouldn't make a difference. That's nothing. If you pray it through, if you think about this prompting in light of Scripture, if you bounce it off solid believers whom you respect and open your heart to the creativity of the direction of the Holy Spirit that can come through the voice of another as well in a word of wisdom or a prophetic word of knowledge, and you're seriously processing this stuff, and we'll talk more about that in the fall, like I said, but don't downplay. Don't downplay any prompting, as small as you may think it is. If it's from God, it's big. I believe it. These last couple of moments this morning, I'm simply asking you to talk to God. And with the beauty of the rain falling on the roof, we're going to take a couple of minutes in quiet prayer and reflection in our own, where we are seated. And I want you to talk to God about it, about this. And I want you to bend your heart toward trusting Him as He has attempted to direct you. For some of you, maybe it's something new that will surface in your heart right now. Allow Him. Open your heart to His reminder from His word that He will empower you to do what He's calling you in showing you the action steps that He wants you to take in whatever area of life that He may bring to your mind. And you know what? In these moments, if there's nothing that percolates, don't be weirded out by that. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. There's different times, different seasons. And if all that happens in the next few minutes is for you to articulate in your own words your desire to be open to the leading of God every step of the way, that is fantastic. That's exciting. That tees things up the way God wants to have things teed up in your life for what His good plan is somewhere down the road, right? So, these next few minutes, we're going to pray, we're going to talk to God, we're going to tell God in our own words that we're willing to lace up and run with Him. I'm willing to lace up, God, and run with You. So take some time right now. If you want to get up and walk like I need to do, I'm glad I'm up here because I can just walk. Most of the time I walk when I pray. Seriously, if you want to come and kneel at the front, if you want to walk, let's take some moments. God's here. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. these moments of solitude are rich. We probably don't do this enough as Christians. And so I want you to take these thoughts, these questions, the stirring of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to ponder them prayerfully. Read Scripture for God to confirm. And in the days ahead, there's some time that you need to spend with God on some of this. Some of you, that will be the case. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, for your grace, for your mercy, for your patience with us sometimes. And we collectively declare our desire to know and follow you. Help us. We're available. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great to be together. Have a great rest of the day. And again, some of you might want to consider driving out to camp. Maybe you have maybe July 1st, you got nothing to do. Leave early morning, catch the 9:30 service in the at the camp. Spend the day out there. There's a place to purchase meals and enjoy some camp experience. If you want to talk further about that, I'd love to chat with you. So have a great day. God bless you.